It's not correct. Not correct in any way. Millions and millions of dollars is sent to Jamie in unmarked bills. Do you have any unmarked bills at the mansion? Jamie bought the Playboy Mansion about 3 years ago.
You know, Chad, I would normally I'd really like to joke with you about this stuff, but today's actually a really hard day. We've laid off quite a few people at my station and at CBS News, and it's a rough one. I'm okay, but several of my very close friends and colleagues are being impacted, and it's just been very, very tough this morning.
Is this was this anticipated? Was it?
Yeah, I mean, so Paramount, you know, announced that they would have to do a $500 million cut to the budget, and we knew that there would be three rounds of layoffs. We got a note this morning that this would be the day of the second round of layoffs, and then there's one anticipated probably at the end of the year, as most companies then look to, you know, balance the books going into the first quarter of next year. So it's just, you know, things have been uneasy for a while, people not knowing exactly what was going to transpire and take place. And this is supposed to be the biggest round of cuts, and it's pretty gut punching. There are people that I've worked with for my entire career at CBS that are no longer going to be there, that it's really been tough.
I am very, very sorry to hear that. It's one thing about the industry, but it's more important when it's someone, you know, you believe in. You care for. It's hard, you know. It's terrible to hear
Well,
that.
Well, there's a little bit of survivor's guilt too, you know, with some of the people.
Sure.
It's not my job to reveal, you know, it's not my position to talk about who is being impacted, but I think as people learn about it, there'll be some eyebrows raised and you know, wondering why. Obviously, we were all told today it had nothing to do with performance with a number of these people. But, you know, it's pretty much every division, every part of the organization has been impacted. We've talked on this program, the industry is going through a major upheaval and change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's something that I think we've all kind of like lived with anxiety for the last year and a half, just wondering. Streaming is not, you know, making the kind of money that traditional broadcast has made, and everyone's impacted. You know, I have friends who work for ABC, which is part of Disney, and, you know, NBC, which is, you know, part of these large organizations that are all struggling to figure out what's next and how to monetize what we do.
Well,
and it's a struggle.
Let's stay with that. And obviously, if you had the answer, you'd share that. If others had the answer, but where do you think this goes, even at the highest level, the next 5 years, if people continue to consume information in a very different way?
You know, it's one of those things. I was talking to my meteorologist about it this morning. I don't know. I mean, you know what? None of us know. None of us have a crystal ball. You know, it used to be that people tuned in for personalities. But a lot of newsrooms have gotten very green producers, younger producers, and that it's all about content. But people are, it's not necessarily about the personality, it's about what we're putting on the air. But you can get content, you know, on your cell phone. So I don't know if it becomes a return to personality, if it's just about people doing more with less, if we, you know, looking at how we do news in a different way. You know, I mean, journalism is very important to our democracy. I know that, like, we've become a very polarized society, and I know that there's people that think it's the fake media, but I take my job as a journalist extremely seriously. I can listen to two different points of view, and I can usually see how each of those viewpoints come to be. And I think, you know, I hope we can start coming together as a country and as a society, and maybe that will make for better journalism, you know, and better telling of stories. But I don't know. It's how people are consuming too. You can get every mm-hmm. headline on your phone.
Yep, that's it.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I used to believe that really good storytellers would always be protected, and now I'm not so sure, and that scares me.
Well, and just let's look at the revenue side of it. Right, for television, over-the-air television, you know, CBS, NBC, Fox, that has been a part of a television package you would get. That is something that was an essential part of your TV viewing. Now,
right.
The younger viewers, middle-aged viewers, whatever it might be, that's an option, but it's not an essential option, right? And for a lot of people, it is the headline click. It is Twitter. It is Insta. It is Snapchat. It is TikTok. And you're paying a certain amount for those individual slices. How much can you pay? Let's look on the print side. You know, print, a lot of outlets, whether it's the LA Times, the Star Tribune, the New York Times, magazines, at first it was all free when it was online because it was, hey, we're just going to cultivate more people. Now, when outlets try to charge, if they're really trying to justify the expenses where they're at, they charge a big figure. Well, then guess what happens? People run from that big figure.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and that's, you know, I think if you look at it, Chad, the other thing that's happened is that, you know, it used to be cable was king for a while, right? Like broadcast wasn't really. And then, you know, everyone started going to these streaming services, and cable in a lot of ways has been impacted before we have. That's why you're not seeing even shows that you used to on Nickelodeon, BET, other, you know, but also CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and that kind of thing. Viewership's been slowly declining. And that used to be a place that you knew that there would be revenue because people would buy these cable packages. Well, now, you know, it's like, how many streaming services do people need? They don't need to buy every single streaming service.
Or can afford.
But in doing that, but my, you know, my fear with all of this is, as you're saying how we're consuming news differently and all of this, is we're just going to go into our silos even further.
Oh, we're there now. I don't know if we can go much further, to be honest. I don't, but I think it's a fair point to wonder, because as a show that is reflected by me, someone's in the center, I get crushed by either side. I understand that's a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get sensitive to it.
You and I both do.
And like somebody just said to me, I'm a misogynist because I made a point about a comment regarding a Fergus Falls school board member who's standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, but not is reading. And we got into the flag controversy too before on other issues. And I mentioned on Michelle Obama, by the way, somebody I have great respect for, when Michelle Obama during, I think it was the first campaign, when she said, this is the first time I've been proud of my country. Yeah, I criticized her for that. I thought it was a foolish comment by Michelle Obama, who's a very intelligent person. And right away, I got a text her. Well, of course, you're criticizing the female and praising the male. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm criticizing something. In this case, a female said it had nothing to do with their gender. And if in this case the school board member was a female, I would have said the exact same thing. But people want to go to their defaults very fast. Then if I respond, which I did with some force, then I'm too sensitive. Okay, so if you text me, let me just finish.
Sorry.
And if I point something out, then I'm too sensitive. But if I don't respond, that I'm being dismissive. You're kind of trapped.
No, I know. Sorry, my card dipped out a second. I thought you had stopped talking. So
yeah,
I apologize for interrupting. But
not a problem.
You know, it's one of those things, Chad, you and I have talked about before. We can't see things as two things being able to be true. Like,
right.
I suddenly have all these people in my life, whether it's at work or family or whatever. Everyone is now a black and white thinker. It's like, no, it's this way. And it's like, but could it also be this way? Or could it also have some of these other components to it? Like, can't two things be true at the same time? Can't, you know, which would probably lead us to more, you know, compromise in certain aspects of life. So we've really gotten bad at that. And I don't, you know, personally, as someone who, as we've talked about, is like very hippy dippy and into therapy and transformational, you know, spirituality and all this stuff. It's like, I want to be the best version of myself that I can. And that doesn't include black and white thinking. Like the whole world is a rainbow.
That's exactly right. And I try to have these conversations a lot with individuals who sometimes think they know where I'm politically. They may be right. They may be wrong, and say, politics and news is such a small sliver of life. I can assure you, we can find hundreds and hundreds of areas where we could laugh, we could agree, we could have a fair exchange. And by the way, maybe we haven't come together on a lot, but understood more where we both stood and found other areas where we agreed. And the conversation was fun. It was worthwhile. And maybe some connection took place, even if we disagree on some key part of life. There's so many layers of life to find where you can explore and learn information from people.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, of this life, right? Is that we can uncover new things even about ourselves.
Yes.
All the time. So I hope we can get back there. I don't know. Like it used to be fun to have conversations at the dinner table where people had differences of opinion. Like I used to enjoy that. Right. Like,
yes,
it would open up my thinking. Like I don't believe everything I believed at 20 years old that I do now at 42. Right. Like, you have to be able to expand your mind and have, take different routes and places to be able to grow as a human being.
You nailed it. Again, I'm very sorry what's happened to your friends and your colleagues and in a lot of industries. There are so many industries. There are parts of this economy which are flourishing. There are other parts that are still struggling, and it affects a lot of people. I'm sorry you faced it today. I hope the rest of the day is better.
Thanks.
You get a chance to reach out to your friends, and we'll talk again on some better news.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Jamie with us. Let's stay with this on this part. When you consume your news today, how do you do it? Now, you're listening to this station, so this station may be a part. Are you traditional, where it's WCC Radio, an NPR, a Star Tribune, a Pioneer Press, Care 11? Is it Facebook? Is it X? Is it Snapchat? Is it Twitter? Where do you get your information? And if you're someone who's political, and a lot of people aren't, right? Absolutely fine either way you want to be. Do you make an attempt, if it's political, or if it's even another issue that's controversial and has nothing to do with politics, do you make an attempt to seek out the other side of the argument? And maybe in the end, if you do that, you still feel, maybe even feel better about your argument. But do you seek that out to see if maybe, whoa, I learned something new? Or are you more in what a lot of us say is the echo chamber, where no matter where you stand on whether it's politics or something else, you end up just getting a lot of affirmations for what you thought right away? I want to see what Dave has to say about that, and I'd love to hear from a bunch of people. 651-461-9226. Dave Harrigan, for this show, for most people, if you're going to do this show well, you need to consume a fair amount of information. There are individuals who don't consume that much and are able to pull it off skillfully. There's a friend of mine who's on the air right now. The truth is, he consumes a lot more information than he lets on. He's very savvy about what's going on, but that's a part of his persona, and he's had an outstanding career, and I hope it continues for a long, long time. But if you don't think Kamina's example works hard in parts of his career that matters, you're just wrong. And I think in our job, it's incredibly evident when people don't put in the work. But now, and I don't want this only to be politics. If you are successful conservative, successful liberal, and that's all you're going to put out, and you think your audience is listening because they know what you're going to bring, and either they're listening because they love you or they're hate listening, I guess you can stay in the silo because that works. And there are tons of people who have had success with that. Significantly more conservatives than liberals. I just think it's incumbent upon all of us in all aspects of life to be curious, to seek out different ways to make life interesting, informed, fun, unexpected. And there's too much of our conversation where, I mean, we joke a lot with stay in your lane, but there's a lot of people just want to stay in the lane. And again, I'll just mention this text again because it bugs the heck out of me. Heard my comment about, in this case, happened to be a male school board individual, and heard my comment on Michelle Obama and just automatically assumes because one's male and one's female, I'm a misogynist when there's zero proof of that. I mean, nothing.
No, there is, but just not this particular instance.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other things we can point to.
That's why we have three female regulars. That's why Susie's becoming the regular news anchor on the show, you know, and we get to be very involved in that decision. It's a crazy misogynist way to keep bringing on more females on the show.
Well, you just
weird
like mansplaining.
Weird way to do it.
Yeah. Big mansplaining.
That's it. I like to talk down to
Yes. Hey, Dutz, here's the real truth.
If they had any idea how Susie bosses the two of us around massively, and we love it. So consuming information all sorts of ways. How important is that for all of us, you think?
It's important to talk about and think about. I don't think it's important for enough people to do.
Yep.
And myself included. I get caught in the silos. And, you know, social media helps so much, right? So much. Oh, wait, it doesn't help at all because we read, you know, you click on one post that's either pro-Trump, anti-Trump, pro-Harris, anti-Harris, and you just get flooded. It's the algorithms that, I mean, I'm convinced they are a key part of what is causing so much turmoil, so much strife, so much polarization, siloization in this country. It's the social media algorithms and just being fed constantly, spoonful after spoonful after spoonful.
Such a good point.
Of you know, something you believed at one time. So, well, that's it. That's what they're interested in. They're a lefty. They're a righty. Let's just keep pumping that stuff right down their throat.
Curious is an important word here, Chad. When people stop being curious, that's when we lose them. I agree 1,000%. Chad, I get my news from WCC, CBS, was on the network sources, CNN, also good Star Tribune. Also once a day, check other news sources. If there's something actively happening, I'm on Twitter, follow many journalists, magazines, etc. We'll Google stories for more sources. I also look up a lot of people on Wikipedia. I listen to Sunday morning shows on CBS and ABC. Where do I get my news? I read the St. Paul paper, have Morning Joe while getting ready for work, listen to CCO throughout the day while I'm working at home. Cuomo. Find that they're bringing both sides of the table. I'm a middle-aged guy like you, and it's frustrating. I think Cuomo on News Nation is doing a really good job. I think he's better there than he's ever been because he does bring on a lot of people from a lot of different sources. Good. I still watch news on TV, but stick to local news. Will not watch national news programs from Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, because I feel like I cannot get a straight answer from them. Yes, I subscribe to many sources, including traditional newspapers, magazines, and journals. It's hard to see many magazines out there. That industry is just about to end. It's quite simple, though. Walter Cronkite's The World used to tell the news, and that was it. Now the media is 100% campaigning for the Liberal Party. And obviously people are sick and tired. The viewership is tanked, thus revenue is tanked, thus the layoffs. There are a lot of people who feel that way. I don't, but clearly plenty of people feel that way. You also have the massive popularity of conservative talk radio, Fox crushing. There's all sorts of outlets for conservatives to find their viewpoint, and all numbers have dropped everywhere for conservatives, for liberals. And it's good that we have competition out there. It's if you're into this industry, it's troubling where it might go. Paul Molitor, Hall of Famer on the Twins. Can they save this season starting tonight? Molly's next. The Hall of Famer, Mr. Molitor, is with us. Like all our guests, he's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Paul was on the last road trip. He's been a part of a number of radio broadcasts this year with Chris Atterbury. Among the points I enjoyed, sir, is when Chris asked you about the duck boats in Boston, and you said, "Yeah, about the first 15 minutes I liked it, and then I wanted to be done." There's a lot of things we've all done in different towns where I got to do it. I got to do it, and sometimes it's an amazing experience, and other times you're just like, okay, can I get off now? Can I just say I did this? Can I move on at this point?
Hey, good afternoon to you, Chad. I think that the duck boat falls into that category.
Yes.
You know, I was out biking today down by the river and come back by the falls and through the lakes. And those four bicycle pedal things that they have down there by the
yes.
falls,
yeah,
that's another one. That's good for about the first 2 minutes, I think so.
Okay, how much do you bike? If you're going to exercise now, you've always stayed in good shape. What is biking a key part of that? What else?
It is for me. I can't do the running anymore. I'm getting too old, and these aren't good enough. I like to get out. We have beautiful trails here as long as the weather cooperates. You know, when I used to play, Chad, if I can remember back that far, I used to train for the win. Now I'm just training for the tie, right? Just trying to break even. So
that's pretty.
But
okay.
I like to get out for a good, you know, 20, 25 mile ride.
Oh,
you know, pretty much every day when I'm home.
And you bring what, four or five people security? Is that the normal? How we've been so dry in September. It's been glorious. Is Minnehaha Falls running a little slower? How is it?
It was gushing earlier in the summer with all the torrential rains that we endured. But, no, it's still flowing pretty good. I think we got a pretty good backup supply from all the rain
we do.
Earlier in the summer. Yeah. I have seen it bone dry over the last couple of years a couple of times when we went through some of the droughts.
Yeah, I brought Quentin there one time, and I went, let's go somewhere else, Quentin. I saw it, I go, not a good decision by your father. Okay.
Plan B.
You've been in this position before. It's the last week. Team's in the race, but the team's not playing well. There's no other way to say that, and there's a lot of reasons. And I heard you make this point during one of the broadcasts also. There's clearly stress. There's tightness. You can say you're going to avoid that, but when you went from there's a four-month stretch this year where they were the best team in baseball, and now they've dropped 21 of their last 32. How do you, as a player, try to fight through that? And as a manager, when you were around guys – and you knew they weren't reaching their maximum, and part of it was they just looked like they were gripping that bat like they were going to try to break it in half.
Sure.
How did you try to help them?
Well, first I'll say that the different mindsets of different teams at different times. Trying to protect the lead like the Twins have been for the last month, as it's kind of gradually begin to slip away, that adds a whole other dimension to the mental, you know, how the state of your team and how guys are dealing with it. You look at the Tigers, they were basically done. You know, three, 4 weeks ago, and they're just going about it, just trying to have some fun, and this is all gravy for them. They're winning today again. I was watching Scooble pitch a little bit earlier, and he looks dominating. But I think as a manager and coaches, you do need to employ your veteran players, that there has to be things that break the tension. I was actually encouraged the other night when they won the game in Boston on Friday, really a game they had no business winning. They had some great relief appearances late in that game. But Trevor Larner came on and was talking about how much fun it was. And I just wish that feeling would permeate that clubhouse a little bit more, because when you're in there before the game and after some of these tough losses, even the bus ride and the airplane home from Boston the other night, it's almost palpable that you can feel that there's something about getting something when you're climbing up towards it, as opposed to protecting somebody from trying to take it away from you.
Yeah, we should update the Tiger. Scooble was him, right? He's going to probably be unanimous Cy Young Award winner. Seven innings, two hits. Tigers leading in the top of the eighth at home against Tampa, 2-0. Okay, let's say tonight is the night they break out. Marlins aren't very good. Let's say they win the game like 7-2. They score a bunch of runs. Is one game enough to put that in the past, or what do you need to do when there's only six games left in the regular season?
Yeah, well, a couple of thoughts on that. September is a really long month in terms of the roller coaster of what can happen when you're in a battle for a playoff position. I thought some of these games that we won in the last 10 days, even though there hasn't been many, might have been a way to kind of start to turn the energy around, if nothing else. So I think any win could help. I think we're going to see, you know, this week, things can change in a hurry. I mean, you win one day and a couple of clubs lose, or you lose and they win. Even though there's only six games left, I don't think we're done with seeing a little bit of juggling as who's going to be the playoff team come Sunday.
Paul, I've mentioned this a couple times, once yesterday and once today, promoting your appearance. I think this is just one of the more stunning three-game series stats I've heard at Fenway Park in a long, long time, that the Twins had 25 hits, and one hit was an extra base. That just doesn't even seem possible to me.
Yeah, I think the one hit was Royce Lewis's ball that came within inches of being a home run, right?
Yep.
While Boston seemingly was putting up four or five extra base hits in each of the three games that we played. It's kind of a collective thing. You know, you can go individual by individual or look at the team collectively. I just see guys trying to, you know, a lot of our guys are in pull, try to hit a homer mode, and situations are calling for them to try to get a base hit to keep the line moving. We did have that one rally where we strung together four consecutive hits in that game on Sunday before the roof caved in for us in the second half of that ball game. You know, I really thought the big question heading into September, how are these three rookie pitchers going to hold up in a pennant race? And they've done okay.
Yes.
You know, for the most part, games they've pitched, we've been in the games midway through till Rocco has to pull the trigger and start going to the bullpen. But, yeah, offensively, to only get one extra base hit in Fenway, even with conditions, it was cold, it was damp, it was windy, the wind was kind of wasn't conducive for hitting home runs, even though they had somebody that hit three in one game. It's an offensive park for the most part, and we just didn't take advantage.
Yeah, and listening again, it was so cold that you were stealing sweatshirts from the clubhouse. That's what I
rarely underpack, Chad, but I did not see that type of conditions coming. So I had to dip into Hot Rod, the clubhouse manager's trunk for a little extra sweatshirt hoodie there for those couple of games.
I'm sure an expensive receipt is coming your way. Okay, let's talk Royce. You know, Royce was rightfully so receiving a lot of praise. And this has been an extended stretch now, Molly, where he's hitting 220.
Sure.
What are pitchers doing differently to him now that they weren't doing earlier in the season?
Well, and also what is Royce doing that he wasn't doing before, regardless of who's pitching? And I hate to single out one guy because there's a lot of guys that just haven't had good Septembers. The one thing I think, he's used to being able to carry a team, and he's done it in his brief career at times. But I see a lot of predetermined swings. First pitch of an at-bat, you know, he'll just be up there just hoping he gets some type of hanging breaking ball or something, and he'll swing and he'll put himself in a hole on a pitch that's, you know, 10 inches outside. And when he's going well, if you can remember back to the Toronto playoff series, he hit a couple of home runs right out of the gate, but one was to right field.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time Royce has hit a ball to the right side of second base with some authority. So a little bit of a pull mode for him for sure, and just maybe trying to do too much and let the game come to him to some degree.
Bailey Ober pitching today. He's been very good. He was really good last week. When you watch him, what stands out most to you about how he's turned himself into a very good pitcher this year?
Well, to be honest, I've been pleasantly surprised on how good he has become. A couple of things. His changeup, even when players seem to be looking for it, they still look somewhat foolish when they try to actually swing. And the second thing is, I think he's really mastered the concept that you need to have at the major league level. Very, very much unpredictable in terms of when he's going to use his pitches. He'll throw them all at any time. He has a lot of confidence in that little cutter slider. You mix in a slow curveball. But the changeup and the elevated fastball and the way he commands those two pitches are the biggest reason for his success.
If we include what Shohei has done as a starting pitcher and just the absurd numbers he has put up today, as long as you've been watching ball, is he the best player you've ever witnessed?
He is. You know, I've seen a lot of great players, you know, and obviously I would love to see him do it over a long period of time, and hopefully his health returns and he can get back on the mound. I'm not a big believer that we'll see him out there in October, but
that'd be crazy, right?
Yeah, and really this season, you know, the 50-50 and all that, if he is starting to pitch again next year, he's not going to run as recklessly as he has this year with kind of disregard for the physical toll of stealing 50 bases.
What? So what if he does? Then he's mythic, right?
Yeah, and it was funny because when he signed the $700 million contract, I think everybody was expecting like maybe $500 million, which, you know, unfathomable numbers, right?
Right.
And now they're going, Dodgers got a deal. You know, I mean, it's just crazy how it's turned out that way.
That's why you're on the bike. I mean, you're thinking, hey, maybe somebody's going to call you. You know. All right, well, I appreciate it as always. Hopefully they turn it around. If they turn it around in the playoffs, we'll reach out to you next week and get a little preview of who they're matching up with.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm thinking they need to win at least four games this week, Chad. Definitely it changes day to day, but let's hope they find their mojo here a little bit and find their way into playing some October baseball.
Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right, Chad. Be well.
He's great. And never, ever forget what a brilliant baseball player Paul was. 50 past 2. Jason from Target Field in moments.